Folks, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your grace and your love to us in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that you might just quieten our hearts and minds. Help us to listen. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit might work in our lives so that we might be better prepared to love and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, let me thank you for being with us, and I'm so grateful that I'm with you guys, and hopefully we'll have a good time in the next 3 months or whatever the time may be. Folks, you might find it helpful. I think there are sermon summaries that everyone received one. Is there anyone that hasn't got one? Because Brian will give you one. Just put your hand up if you need one. So wisdom. What is wisdom? Who needs it? How do you get it? There are many conflicting ideas, theories, schemes and proposal people put before us. But how do we know what is wise? How do we know what's on the voice of the matter, God's voice on the matter is? Folks, in October 22, 1943, during World War II, the English Royal Air Force launched Operation Corona. Has anyone ever heard of that? It's not a beer. It's a Operation VB. No, it's not a beer. And what they did, they deployed people who could speak German, and they were trained to impersonate the German Air Force controllers. And what would happen, the Corona personnel would then contact the German fighter planes and they would direct the planes to where they wanted to go. Meanwhile, the real German Air Force controllers heard the German pilots being led astray. So they contacted the German fighter planes and told them that their last message was a hoax. And the poor old German pilots had two voices in their ears, didn't they? Both sounding genuine, both giving two different commands. So what did the Germans do? Well, they trained up female Air Force controllers so that the German pilots could distinguish the real orders from German headquarters. But guess what the English did? They trained female controllers to impersonate them, and it caused so much confusion, it actually helped the Allies win the war. And folks, I want to say, in a similar way, Proverbs tells us there are two voices, and these two voices compete for our attention, and they do cause confusion. Two female voices, Proverbs personifies Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Both are compelling, both are attractive. One will bring you life, blessing, security and safety. The other will bring you a fall and a crash. You know, Proverbs is one of the most down-to-earth book in the Bible. Simple but profound truths written by Solomon for instruction to his son to be wise in living. So, folks, it'll be helpful if you open your Bibles to Proverbs 1, and I'll be looking at various verses throughout Proverbs 1. Firstly, acquiring wisdom. Acquiring wisdom. Why don't we read these great words again, which is the summary, in some ways, of the whole book of Proverbs together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Elsewhere in Proverbs, in chapter 11, it talks about, in chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in these early chapters, knowledge and wisdom are nearly interchangeable. The knowledge of God is wisdom, and wisdom is the right use of knowledge. But wisdom doesn't lie within us. It's not dormant, a character trait. Our default position is one of folly. Wisdom has nothing to do how clever you are, how educated you are. You can be the Prime Minister, you can be the President, you can be a CEO and still be a blubbering fool. And we know that from experience, don't we? It has nothing to do with information. If you want information, you go to Google. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So what does the fear of the Lord mean? Fearing God, it's not being scared of God. It's an old English way in saying to have a loving, a deep loving reverence for God by submitting to his lordship, by submitting to his commands. You see, the first step towards godly wisdom is being in a right relationship with God. You see, if we acknowledge and revere that God is our creator and we are his creation, if we acknowledge and revere that he's our father and we are his children, if we acknowledge and revere he is the master, the Lord, and we are his servants, if we acknowledge and truly revere his commands and we have a desire to obey, then we fear the Lord. You know, the wisdom of this world tells us to trust ourselves or to trust the majority of what people think. But godly wisdom, despite our feelings or what others tell us, comes from trusting God, trusting the word of God. Friends, we do not become wise in what we do and how we live. We become wise when Jesus becomes our Lord. When Jesus becomes our master, it affects our behaviour and it will affect our attitude. James says, ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When Solomon came to reign, he asked God for wisdom. And how did God respond in 1 Kings 3, verse 12? I will give you a wise and discerning heart. And Solomon in that time was seen as the wisest man in all the world. And in that same chapter in 1 Kings 3, you remember the story of those two pregnant women. Do you remember that one? They both had a baby, but one of the babies died. And the mother of the baby that died, she went one night and swapped the babies. And when the mother of the living child woke up and saw her baby, she said she knew it wasn't her baby. And so they had a bit of a brawl and they came to Solomon and they said, work this out. And Solomon said, no worries. He said, bring me a sword. The thought was, I'm going to cut the baby in half and give you half each. And the true mother, as you would expect, said, no, no, no. Give my child to the other woman. Friends, wisdom is not something that comes naturally. Even Jesus, we are told in Luke 2, grew in wisdom and stature. We need to ask God for wisdom and continue to ask God for wisdom. It's like when we ask God for healing. We don't ask once, do we? We continue to ask. And I take it Solomon, who is the wisest man of all, he asked once because he became a fool at the end when he started marrying all these women. How foolish. I didn't mean it that way. I think he had something like 800 women, didn't he? Whoa. Stop laughing, Robert. Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God, Paul says, is the embodiment of wisdom. I love those stories in the Gospels when the Pharisees tried to trick Jesus. Jesus always comes up trumps, doesn't he? I just love it. I mean, I love that one about, you know, when the business came about paying taxes and they're saying, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And what did Jesus say? You know, bring me a coin. Whose inscriptions on it? And then he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar, give to God what is God's. What a great answer. And the other time when a woman was caught in adultery and they wanted to stone her, and Jesus said, do you remember those words? Let him who's without sin cast the first stone. But ultimately, we see the wisdom of God at the cross of Jesus. because it was only at the cross of Jesus do we see justice, someone paying for our sins, Jesus dying on that cross, and we see the love of God at the same time. And that's why Paul says in the 1 Corinthians, I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because he later on says, Jesus crucified is the power of God. Jesus crucified is the wisdom of God. Friends, when we accept Jesus as our Lord, we become wise. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. When we listen and act to his voice, we grow in wisdom. The fear of the Lord, a deep reverence and respect for our Lord Jesus, brings us wisdom. When we acknowledge and truly revere him, we are wise. But what is the antagonist of wisdom? Well, it's there in verse 7 again, the second part. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, according to the last census, Christianity is dying. Where you tick no religion, that has become the most popular box now. The only religions that are growing is Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam. They are growing. Christianity is going downwards. You could say Australia is growing foolish. A fool is a man with no time for God. They despise Jesus. You know, when people refuse to submit to Jesus, they will never discover wisdom. They might be wise in their own eyes. They might be wise in the world's eyes. But God says they are fools. Fool is not a person with a low IQ. A fool is a person that doesn't listen to the word of God. And we see there in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Proverbs, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. As much as this is Solomon speaking to his son, it's our Heavenly Father speaking to you and to me as his sons and daughters. Listen. You know, listening is a humbling experience, isn't it? The Greek philosopher Zeno, 300 years before Christ, coined a phrase that parents have used on their kids for many years. The reason why you have two ears and one mouth is so that you would listen twice as you would much as you would speak. And I guess there's truth in that. Too many people today have closed minds and open mouths. But there is a difference between listening and hearing, isn't there? There is a difference. Sometimes I'm in the lounge and Debbie is telling me something in the kitchen. And she's talking and talking and I'm hearing stuff. And then she comes into the lounge. She said, do you hear what I said? I said, yeah. She said, what did I say? I said, I don't know. But all men are like that, aren't they? Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Don't throw me under the bus. But folks, seriously, did you come to listen to God today? Did you come with an attitude, Lord, teach me. Lord, change me to be the person you want me to be. Otherwise, we'll be enticed into the world's wisdom. And that can be seen in the infatuation with sexual orientation, genderism, consumerism, leisureism, all those isms. What's best for me, ism. In verse 10, Solomon says, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. Folks, we're at a constant temptation. There's a war going on. God's challenge for you and for me and for the world is to repent. That means change our ways and believe, trust in God. The world is antagonistic. In verse 22, it says, how long, God says, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Our world will not humble themselves to listen and to repent. Our world wants to veer away from the truth. And folks, that's what heresy is. Heresy is bent truth. It may seem to be okay, but over time it just veers away, and before you know it, it is so far away from the truth. You know, as I look around, I see parents and godparents, grandparents rather. I want to ask you a question. Do you pray for your kids? It's good that a lot of you are nodding. But what do you pray for them about? Do you pray for their success? Or do you pray that they will be godly, that they will become Christians? I must admit, in the early days of when I was first a parent, I used to pray for their success. And Debbie put me straight. We prayed faithfully that our kids would come to know the Lord Jesus and that they would grow up wanting to love and serve him. Folks, we all want success. But success is not wisdom. No education, intelligence, power, or fame is a guarantee of wisdom. And we know all those people who have died with big holes in their lives. Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Prince, Kurt Cobain, Robin Williams, Heath Ledger. They're all rich and famous. I just noticed that list. There's no women there. Men are bigger fools, maybe, I don't know. But all those men, they had great success, but basically, well, most of them gave away their lives, committed suicide, because there was something missing in their life. You see, the greatest enemy to the wisdom of God is the foolishness of the world. And Solomon says to us in verse 30, "Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." You see, not listening to the word of God is fatal. Not only foolish, but it's fatal. They will reap what they sow, God says. The advice of wisdom in verses 1 to 6, we are told that what wisdom achieves, it is skill in living. It's instruction, understanding, all those words there. It's common sense, it's knowledge, discretion, learning. It gives counsel. You know, there have been over 45 million books sold. You know those books for dummies? You know, bird watching for dummies, fishing for dummies, internet for dummies. I need that, so does Peter. Parenting for dummies, sailing for dummies, investing, the law for dummies. And there's even one online dating for dummies. But the reason why those books are so popular is they make the complex understandable in simple terms. Everything about life depends on wisdom. The ability to make the right decision. Wisdom is skill in living for dummies. And as we go through in these next couple of months, we'll be looking at friends and family, parenthood, work, service, our wealth, how we use our tongue and so on. And it's all important. Paul reminds us all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be fully equipped for every good work. You see, the wisdom of God saves us, forgives us. The wisdom of God sanctifies us. That means we grow to be more like Jesus. And the wisdom of God makes us servants of God so that we might be equipped to do the work of God. You know, the wisdom has close links with the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 41 and Daniel chapter 4, both Joseph and Daniel are said to be wise because they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You are wise. Turn to the person, have a look at the person beside you. Look. They may not look wise. Robin, you have much to say. You may not feel wise, but talk to God and ask him to make you wise. Let the Holy Spirit dig deep into your soul and change you. The advice of wisdom is to live godly lives, because it will put a smile on God's face. And in the end, it will put a smile on your face. And finally, just quickly, the advantage of wisdom. Verse 33, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and peace and at ease without fear or harm. Besides skill in living, wisdom will give us safety and peace in a volatile and warring world. Last week, I mentioned, those of you who were here, that my parents came from Malta. And you'll see that picture. That's a picture after the war, or during the war. And I think still is. Malta is the most bombed place on earth. And incredibly, there were very few casualties. Because when people heard the sirens, they would run to the bomb shelter. Most people lost their possessions, but not their lives. They were saved despite the destruction, because they took heed to the alarm. Friends, we need to take heed. We live in a warring world. Jesus says, come to me, all you are labour who are heavy laden, who are burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Do you feel under attack? Do you feel pressured? Do you sometimes hear two different voices saying, do this or do that? Are there stresses in your life that are impacting you negatively? Do you sometimes feel lonely and you can't reach out to anyone? Do you sometimes feel the financial pressures and you don't know how you're going to manage? Is there forgiveness issues? Are you finding it hard to forgive someone, or someone's finding it hard to forgive you? Are you indecisive, undecisive? Is there a hole in your life? Do you feel like there's no purpose for living? Folks, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Some of you, I don't know you personally, but I take it many of you have come to Jesus and you have responded to Jesus by allowing him to control your life. You have peace and you have rest with the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're immune from tragedy or immune from pain, because we live in a fallen world. But get this, nothing can touch you eternally. Is that good? Nothing can touch us eternally. Jesus has died for your sins. He has forgiven you. He has risen from the dead so that you can share in the resurrection. And in the meantime, he has given us his word. He has given us his spirit to live wise lives. But maybe there are some of you that haven't reached that place. Maybe there are some of you who have heard the word of God, like I used to hear Debbie's voice, but haven't really put those words, put Jesus first in your life. And I want to say to you, stop messing around. Stop messing around. The reason why there may be not, you haven't got peace or contentment or assurance in your life, it's possibly because you're not listening. You're not taking time to listen to Jesus. Stop hearing the voice of the enemy and listen to the voice of God. Love the word of God, won't you? Because you will live in safety and peace despite an antagonistic world. Let Jesus be your shelter and your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that sometimes we are so foolish. Sometimes we think we can live life on our own steam, on our and our own wisdom. But Lord, thank you that you remind us that we need you. We need you lock, stock and barrel. We need you to give us wisdom. We need you to carry our burdens. We need you for our safety and blessing. Father, we just think of those people who may not have made that commitment to you. Lord, please we pray that they might continue to hear, but also to listen to your word. And through your spirit, that you might change them. And Father, we just think of those friends and family who do not know you. Father, please work in their lives. Please work a miracle in their lives so that they might too know the Lord Jesus as their Lord, as their Saviour. And we do pray all these things for Jesus Christ's sake. And the people said, Amen. Amen.